I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Achtung Mall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Bermondsey. Accept no substitute.
Welcome, welcome, dear listeners. Welcome to the penultimate game of the season. You're listening to Achtung Millwall. My name is Nick Hart. You join me and about 18,000 other people in the den. I don't know who all these people are in our block. I nearly called it my block because it belongs to me. It doesn't. It belongs to Millwall Football Club. There's a load and load of people in the house today. You come the two teams, Millwall and Peterborough United, the last but one fixture of the season. The Fizz listeners have been taken out of our Stella Artois somewhat by Sheffield United beating QPR last night 3-1 in a convincing win, in all honesty. I don't know if you saw it, I watched it, hoping for patron St. Bermondsey, St. Kilderton, to smile upon us. Unfortunately, he scowled in the end. And QPR, I really like someone put a meme out there, quite pathetic, really. QPR folded like a deck of cards. The patient is still grieving. The Mill playoff campaign patient is still grieving, just because it's in the Football League's intensive care unit at the moment, dear listeners. Your Millwall team this afternoon, I've been trying to work out the formation. I think, and I'm probably going to sound really silly in subsequent events, I think we're talking about 4-4-2. We have Bart in goal. I'm going to put back four. I've done it for such a long time. Murray Wallace, Jake Cooper, Sean Hutchison, Danny Mack. I'm going to put a midfield four of Oliver Burke, Joel Staple, Billy Mitch, Ryan Leonard, and I'm going to guess up front Fabian Bradshaw. But as I say, correct me if I'm talking absolute tosh. Great tweet by Richard Corley. Millwall just need to win their last two matches, listeners. Reverse an 8-goal swing and rely on other clubs dropping points. Apart from that, it's plain sailing to get into the Championship playoffs. The only thing I would say, Richard, that's a very well executed tweet there, mate. When I was talking to Lenny Kravitz, my rock star friend, earlier on, he said it ain't over till it's over now. Well, that's the way I'm looking at it, and I think that's the way the Den faithful are going to look at it today, listeners. In any event, Millwall will be attacking the away end in the first half, in a cool sort of teachings of the Venerable Bede in Anglo-Saxon England, 9th century. Basically, we need a win. And we need goals, dear listeners. Away we go in the beautiful Bermondsey sunshine, the renowned Bermondsey sunshine. How to be in Bermondsey now that summer's here. Nearly, it's still a bit nippy in the shape. Peterborough relegated, of course, listeners. Watching the 12:30 goal, the first half certainly of Gillingham versus Rotherham. Gillingham relegated. I think Rotherham won that 2-0 earlier, so sending Neil Harris and Ben Thompson into League Two. Wigan, and last I saw it was MK Dons. That may have changed since I drove over. I haven't checked since. In the top two. Where did our season get away from us, listeners? That's a question I'm going to pose to you. I think it's got away from us on a number of occasions. Some of the losing sequences, some of the poor performances we've mentioned. Won't go over them all. There's ball in from the right side by Peter, but that's over the head of everybody. It's easy to pick out recent performances and talk about the very cold start we made up there at St Andrews last week. I think you've got to look further back. There's been some really good stuff at times, but too patchy overall, some real poor stuff equally. And that's where our season's got away from us for whatever reason, whether that's injury or the impact of COVID, the condensed nature of the season, I don't know. Things that would have affected every club. We do play with a fairly small condensed squad compared with many for economic reasons. And one or two injuries, as we've sustained it almost throughout the whole season, have hurt us more than most. It remains a very, very good season by Mill standard. I mean, it's, you go round in circles on this, listeners, because there is a sense of disappointment given recent points when they should have been wins, that kind of stuff. But historically, this is one of the best ever seasons. It'll be in the slight guess, on it'll be in one of the top 10 seasons ever of being a Millwall fan. So despite the sense of what if, that remains a fact. Normally block one is like a wasteland tumbleweed floating around the aisles and seats. Today it's packed and I've got people looking at me like I'm a lunatic, talking to myself. Which in many respects I suppose I am. For your pleasure. A nice ball down the left side. What a coolly taken penalty that was by Bennett Afobe last night. Esther's incidentally as he's dispossessed there on the, coming towards the ninth minute, but what a coolly taken penalty. I wouldn't have fancy taking that in the 90 plus 8th minute, if that's an expression. I would have flopped it, I would have fluffed it, listeners, and then my name would have been mud. My reputation as a Millwall fan would have been bedraggled. So I'm glad it wasn't me that took it, and that Afobe put it away for some measure of aplomb. We're getting towards the time of the season where we start to say our goodbyes to players. Dan Ballard has been ruled out for the rest of the season by injury, and he will be returning back to his parent club of Arsenal. A great player. Been a really good season for Dan Ballard. I can see him going the full distance to, well, he's an Arsenal player already, so he would expect to be a Premier League contender. Jed Wallace, of course, is on the bench this afternoon following injury. This may be the last chance we'll have to say goodbye to Jed. No clear picture yet as to where he may go. Talk of Turkey, talk of West Bromwich Albion. Who knows? Ball breaks. This is Billy Mitchell finding Danny Mack on 20 minutes. We have been bright since the start of the game, but without any real threat in front of goal. Some might say story of the season, although Bennett Afobe's 12 goals so far, he's as good as many in recent years, unless you're going to go back to the glory days of Morrison and Gregory. But threat in front of goal has been elusive for us all season, I think, with the greenestness. That's just drifted out for a right throw on the left-hand side. 21 minutes, halfway through the first half. Not huge amounts to report, in fairness. There's Jed warming up there below us too. Good applause. With Murray Wallace picking up the Player of the Season award, Jake Sanders made the point that Jed has been consistently our best player for the last 5 years, best in terms of quality. And he's never won it. Maybe that says something about the psychology of the Millwall supporter listeners. The favouring of a grafter over talent. I don't know. I think it's always been so. When you look back over the list of players of the season over the years, not we've ever been blessed with kind of huge talent, but we've been blessed with a lot of players who work very, very hard, and they're the ones that we seem to favour. It's in the psyche. It's in the blood. Ball breaks as the long ball falls from Saville, trying to find Oliver Burke. He does well to control that. And 29th minute, listeners. This is on the right side. Danny Mack with him. Breaks into the area. Danny balls into the box. That's over the kind of cross. It went into a shot as he drifted across. He actually drifted just past the left side post there. Could be Mill's most dangerous moment, but wasn't an accurate cross by anyone's definition of the word. Did I just say accurate? Accurate. I'll edit that out to make myself sound intelligent. Accurate. Long ball forwards finds Bennett, 35 minutes on the left. He's done well to get past his man, like Matthew Butter, who's just ran into the last tackle there. Little moment of class and quality from Bennett Afobe. From Peterborough, shot from distance, that's blocked, that's going to go for a corner on the left. Ticking towards the 37th minute. It's been a very uneventful half in truth, listeners. I think we came into the game looking to overturn an 8-goal deficit if we do win it on Sheffield United. Well, take it from me, we've shown no signs of that so far. The game's got that hit, the drifty feel about it, listeners, the kind of impending summertime, almost like a friendly, you know. The result last night has served to puncture the Rowett train. That's a mixed metaphor, to derail the Rowett train, to puncture the Rowett bus, the tyres of the Rowett bus, which has not helped today's cause. Ball breaks, this is the 7 from, there's a penalty, a little ball through, that's dinked wide. That was a chance actually for Pedro, a better player would have taken that a touch there and got a shot on goal, as was he tried to dink it round. He's gone for a goal kick, 38 minutes. Bright start, but we've settled into a groove now that says summer is a coming. And that from the Wicker Man, summer is a coming. One of those folk songs they sing on that island, Summer Isle. Peterborough pressing forwards now, as they have done increasingly through the half. It's 44 minutes of what has been a poor game so far, in truth. They're starting to pass the ball backwards and forwards on the edge of our penalty. That's a little dinking that's taken simply enough by Bart Bielkowski there on the line. No real danger there, but Gary Rowett can't be happy with what he's seeing here. This is a big, still remains a big situation, and we're not really showing enough, as we haven't done in a few big situations of late. So maybe there's a pattern now, I don't know. There's the half-time break. Poor half in truth. We're going to take a little break now, listeners, and take you away from here and listen to the pre-match Player of the Season ceremony and the little interview I did the other day with Millwall fan Scott Lockwood, who's doing an abseiling appeal, charity appeal. So we're going to cut over to those now. We'll be back later in the second half, if you can bear it.
Achtung, Millwall.
Huge welcome on the show to Scott Lockwood, who is an Achtung Millwall listener and a Millwall fan of many years' standings. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, mate. Now, reason that we're just getting you on here today is that I understand you are doing a charity for charity exploration of your deepest fears and worries by abseiling down from the roof of the AFC Wimbledon Stadium, mate. What's that in aid of? Can you explain why you're doing this lunatic thing?
Yeah, so I'm doing it on two fronts. We're doing it to raise money for Don's Local Action Group, who work tirelessly in the area as part of Wimbledon Foundation. And they do food parcels and stuff like that. But I'm also doing it for a local club round by that I run in the SE17 area to try and get a defibrillator. Okay. They're about £1,200 to £1,500, and we've just had two children with heart defects join our sessions. And it's something that, as a volunteer organisation, we've never been able to afford. So we're just trying to raise funds for peace of mind, hopefully never to have to use them. Absolutely. But so that they're there just in case.
Now, I had the pleasure of meeting with Aaron over at Wimbledon's new grounds, probably about Octoberish, I think it was. I went over to the like an executive lounge there. I had a really nice meal, actually, in there. And that's a very high stand that you're going to be abseiling down from there, Scott. Yep, so I take my hat off to you on that. How are you with heights, mate? Are you good with heights, or is it something you've never ever done before?
But as soon as you said the word heights there, my body started getting shivers. So I'm absolutely petrified of heights. Right. And one of the reasons sort of I've chosen to do this is we can't keep on telling our children to overcome their fears but not try it ourselves. And they're looking forward to seeing me cry, shake,
a bit,
and everything else. Why up high?
I take my hat off to you. It's not something I would fancy doing. It is for a fantastic cause. One thing I did notice, Scott, when I was over at Wimbledon, was the work of the Dons Trust, and especially some of the outreach work, which I think is where you're going with this, isn't it? It's to try and reach local kids and change their life, in a sense, I suppose, trying to turn some of these, you know, some of these kids away from taking wrong choices.
Yeah, there's many different things we do as part of AFC Wimbledon Foundation, and a bit like the Millwall Community Trust. Like £25 gets a kid into a session that can pay for a coach to run a kick session, for example, which brings 16 to 18 year olds in to play football, which will then keep them away from doing things that they shouldn't be doing. £50 feeds a family of four for a week, and stuff like that with the Don's Local Action Group. And the foundation do so many more stuff. We do refugee sessions. We do loads of things that every little bit of fundraising goes towards helping.
Now, you're on Just Giving, Scott. Is it Scott Lockwood found the Lockwood Football Academy, I think. Is it search on that on Just Giving to find the...
Yeah,
to find the,
if you go onto the Just Giving crowdfunding page, it's the Lockwood Football Academy. And we're trying to raise £1,500 for a defib and the bits and gadgets that go with it. We've just hit a £600 target last night, which is absolutely incredible. Yeah. After a week of sort of fundraising, and hopefully we can build up and get to that £1,500 target for the health and safety of everyone in the local area.
Fantastic. Now, one or two on this is Achtung Millwall show. One or two might be wondering why I'm talking to an AFC Wimbledon bod, but you are actually a Millwall fan, aren't you, Scott? A Millwall season ticket holder.
Yep, I'm a season ticket holder, a shareholder. I sit in Block 7, right at the top of the stairs. I work with the Millwall 45K group. We've done loads of charity fundraising over the years, and have been part of Millwall my entire life.
Fantastic. Who says no one likes us, Scott?
Well, believe me, there's a lot more people that do like us now than they used to.
Fantastic. Your work's helping that cause along, mate. It's really, really nice to be able to talk to you. I wish you well with the appeal. We will be sticking a link, listeners, in the show notes and on the show social media to get behind Scott. I take my hat off to you doing this abseiling business, Scott. I've never fancied that kind of stuff at all. But when does it take place? When is the actual event gonna happen, mate?
So the actual event is taking place on the 15th of May, thankfully just after my birthday. So if I do die, I would have hit another year older. And it's going to take place during the first ever open day at AFC Wimbledon's new Cherry Red Record Stadium. Yep. So it's a momentous occasion, and we're expecting sort of 500 to 800 people there throughout the day. And anyone that wants to come and watch and come and kind of cheer me on or laugh at me, feel free.
Fantastic stuff. Really appreciate your time today, Scott. That's Scott Lockwood, listeners. And as I say, we'll be putting the link out on the show notes for Scott's appeal. Many thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, team. Really appreciate your help.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Bermondsey. Accept no substitute.
Pre-match, dear listeners, we're going to have the very welcome presentation on the pitch of the Millwall Player of the Season. We're just waiting for it. I'll edit this so it goes seamlessly, and I'm going to play with your time space continuum by running this at the half-time break in the Millwall v Peterborough game. So I'm just going to stick with this whilst we see Max McClellan, and then that's Billy Taylor down there, obviously, the diminutive figure of Steve Cavanagh, and a few trophies on the table. But we're going to record this and I'll edit it together separately, listeners, so that your listening experience isn't as drawn out as the reality.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Den. We will be formally presenting 21-22 Player of the Season in around 5 minutes' time. But to kick things off, we'll start with a special achievement award. This award goes to a man who has given over 50 years of service to Millwall Football Club and has been an iconic voice of the PA and the Den for see coming up. Please put your hands together and let's with us.
Mr. Pye for now. I've never seen him. There he is. His cover is blown. His voice was going when I started going. It was as long as I've been there for 50 years, as Max just said. That's nice.
Joining me now is Bill Lioness's manager, Jack Wheeler, to present the Lionesses Player of the Season and collecting the award. Please give a big round of applause for Sophie Chapman.
I think they've done the Lionesses Award on the pitch, which is step forward. I'm sure Harry will have views and opinions on that. I'm going to seek those out another day.
And finally, to round off this stage of the award ceremony, joining me is Academy Director Scott Fitzgerald, who will present School Player of the Year. Please put your hands together for a young man who made his debut at age 15.
Churlish types talk about his distribution, but I don't. His instinctive shot stopping is something else.
The Junior Lions Player of the Season, presented by the Junior Lions Committee's Wayne Millwood, and MSC Player of the Season for second spot goes to one of our own. He recently scored his first two goals for the club.
Season for Danny Mack, 21-22, so.
And finally, your Millwall Supporters Club Player of the Season. He's a man mountain, he's the machine. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for your 21-22 Millwall Supporters Club Player of the Season. Murray Wallace.
Well deserved. Listeners, you agree with me, don't you? I voted for him. Who did you vote for? Maradino. Wallace Cruyff. There we are. He's even got his own song, listeners. How about that?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah! What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Achtung, Millwall.
Teams are out for the second half of the final home 45 minutes of the season, listeners. In truth, that first half will not excite many. Didn't excite me. Let's hope for a better second half from Millwall. We still with a few convoluted results of a potential to be in the mix going into the last weekend, which is not a bad achievement for a club of our size and resources, but we won't be getting anywhere near it with that first half showing. Nor with the opening of the second half, which was the kick from kickoff, we put it straight into touch in the Peterborough half. But why change the habit of a season, listeners? Ball over the top to Burke, who controls it on the left, just in the first 40 seconds of the second half. Ball's lofted in from Murray Wallace, far post, it falls to Ryan Leonard on the line. Ooh, fired in from close. I think that was Saville. Ball seemed to stick on the line, maybe a white shirt in there, managed to clear it. First real chance for Millwall in the whole game. In the first 60 seconds of the second half, good start from Millwall. We'll take and turn on the edge of the penalty. Oh, that's a shot put wide, batted wide by Bartkowski on 49 minutes there. Good hard shot down low, and Bartley able to get down to it, push it behind for a right sided corner. Millwall have done a very good job of sedating the Millwall crowd so far. The crowd have come here to enjoy itself, and we've managed to produce a fairly soporific performance in truth so far. This is going to be a long throw from Ryan Leonard on 52 minutes nearly. On the right, down by the corner flag. In it comes, it's deep, near post, tail of the rounds. Falls to Bennett Afobe, 1-0. Bennett Afobe slammed home as the ball came in from the right. It fell to Bennett, who took the turn and fired it in at the right sided corner low. 52 minutes, Mill lead it, 1-0. Much, much better. That's his 13th goal of the season, this is. Long throw, it was. Can't see the replay. You have to see the replay on your YouTube. Don't tune into Acton Mill for replays, this is. Nicely put away, Bennett Afobe. Entre Jed Wallace. Ryan Leonard coming out. I think he's done quite well, but I kept him in. Person who maybe played him more centrally, but who knows the mind of Gary Rowett, listeners. In comes Jed Wallace, possibly for his finale at the Den. Good applause. Listen to that. Also coming Mason Bennett for Tom Bradshaw. Okay. Another move I don't get, but still. In comes the cross, it's a near post, punched away by the goalkeeper, back to Jed Wallace, who fires it across the 6-yard box. Going for a goal kick. The applause, I think this is for Ted Ayres, a Millwall fan who passed away recently from, I believe it was cancer. Applause from the 59th minute, I think. This is an unofficial thing, I think. There's nothing on the screen. That's just why I think they picked it up from social media. Nice take and turn by Mason Bennett. That's a ball through. He's got Burke on the right-hand side to Joe Wallace. Ball into the penalty area. Billy Mitchell's volley is blocked. Mitchell 60 minutes. Searching for the second. Danny Mack now. Nice deep cross into the far post. It was Mason Bennett. Look, it's Murray Wallace. Sees it at the crossbar. On the volley. Unlucky. 61 minutes. Must have taken a deflection. He's gone for a corner. I thought he'd hit it cleanly. As it was, it's deflected. He's hit the crossbar. Unlucky Murray Wallace. 61. That's going to be a right-sided corner for to be taken by Jed Wallace. We're looking much more dangerous since the goal. In it comes. Far post. Hit the post again. A little close range header there, I think it was. We're hitting the woodwork left, right and centre, listeners. It runs through. This is Mason Bennett. Into the side netting. Didn't really connect with it. 62nd minute. Game's opened out a little bit more in the last few minutes. Which is better. Better from the spectating point of view, listeners, which is what we pay our money to do. Halfway point of the second half. Lions obviously leading it thanks to that Bennett Afobe finish. Been a little bit more excitement and electricity since the goal. Free kick taken short. They're fed it through, way through to Jed Wallace from the right side. Ball into the mix. That's got in. Own goal. 2-0 Millwall. Crossing from the right side, Jed will get the assist there. It's put into his own net by the wayward Peterborough defender from close range, unstoppable. 72 minutes ticking towards 73, listeners. We'll lead it 2-0 now. In comes a corner, it's a deep right side. One that's headed beautifully by Jake Cooper, it's saved on the line. Falls back to Jed Wallace again on the right side. It's a deep one, that's 3-0 now. Saville at the far post, far left post. 3-0, 15 minutes. We all start to find the back of the net with increasing regularity. Is it game on, listeners? Crowd in the den believe so. 15 minutes to go. Called in from the right there and then met very nicely indeed by Joel Saville on the left side post. 3-0. Jed Wallace is tracking back. This is what others will gain at our expense, sadly. There's a good tackle. You can hear the applause for that tackle in their own penalty area, listeners. Top quality player. If this is his final hurrah, he'll be proud of what he's done this afternoon. Tyler Bury coming in now for Oliver Burke. Good applause, Oliver. I think it's one of his better performances, listeners, this afternoon. He's looked wicked dangerous all afternoon. Some may be his critics, I don't know. I like him. Here comes Tyler. Apparently attracting the attention of the Hammers from the London Stadium, the Taxpayer Stadium. Just permitted myself a quick look at the live table. Listeners, we're still 3 points off of now, obviously, Sheffield United. And crucially, they've got a goal difference of plus 14 to our plus 9 at the moment. So we still, we still need luck to go our way. And we need a few goals. And today might be the time to get... Jed just ran into Jules Savage, as I was saying. We might need a few goals today in the last 8 minutes against this poor side, because we might struggle next week at Bournemouth. But state the bleeding obvious, Nick, why don't you? Stewards are lining the pitch, ready for the expected pitch invasion. Shall we go and get on the pitch? Been a long while since I've been on the pitch.
I've got one, I think, 45 years ago.
I was going to say the den. There's the final whistle. 3-0 win. Good win for the Lions. Good result. Probably going to fall short in the end. Still got a trip to Bournemouth to get to. Here come some kids. Players leaving the pitch. I think that's enough from the den. We'll be back after these messages.
Achtung, Mehlball. So my thoughts on that 3-0 win for Millwall. It keeps the season alive somewhat, but it's on life support, as we all know. Yeah, it's a weird game to sum up, really. I thought we were very, very good second half with the introduction of Jed Wallace after Ben Kofobi's left-footed sort of half-volley finish. But the first half was dire. Again, a better side may have put us to the sword a bit. I thought we were well off it. I don't really get why, you know, we set up the way we did in the first half. When we took the shackles off in the second half, we were a lot better. And obviously scored the three goals, hit the bar, hit the post. Murray Wallace nearly marked his Player of the Year award with a goal. But yeah, it was, I don't know, I've seen a few people on Twitter before I've done this, sort of the yin and yang of Millwall. Some people slagging off Gary Rowett's set up before a game, or like set up in the first half, shall we say. And I've seen other people slagging off the fact that if we'd gone for it a bit more. I mean, I will be honest, if we had scored one more goal, maybe two more goals, which we could have done, the swing would look a lot more likely than what it does now in terms of the goal swing that we need. But it's still a massive ask to go and beat Bournemouth at Bournemouth, who are chasing promotion and the title on the last day. But we roll on. It's on the last day. We could still get the playoffs. I still think we can still finish 12th, can we? I'm not too sure on if that's accurate now. But, you know, all in all, it's the Championship. Anything can happen. We've done our job on the day. Yeah, we'd have liked more goals for the three-goal swing. But because Sheffield United scored two last... Well, had a two-goal margin last night, we only nicked one back, so that's a shame. We need Fulham to do us a favour. We're running out of favours. We keep asking for them, and no one keeps giving them. So we need Fulham really to beat Luton by a healthy margin, whenever that game is, and I think it's in the week, and go from there really. But we are in it on the last day, so I suppose we can't ask more than that. But you can be critical of the setup in the first half, because I think that was a missed opportunity. Also, what a difference Jed Wallace makes. Imagine losing that next season. Oh wait, yeah. And Tyler Bury again looked good when he come on. I just really like what he does, but again, rumours that we'll lose him. So yeah, let's try and be positive, but it will be a summer of change at a den coming for sure. But come on, you Lions, off to Bournemouth we go.
So 3-0 in victory over Peterborough at the Den today. And I'll tell you what, it was a bit of a pancake flat first half, dear listener. It wasn't a game that I thought was going to go anywhere. And I did think that although, you know, we knew what the stakes were and the fact that we needed the win, I thought that it might have ended up as a draw, because that's how it seemed to be going. We struggled to penetrate through Peterborough. They were frustrating us. Camps on the edge of their penalty area. But to be fair, Peterborough weren't great neither. Their football itself wasn't brilliant. There was a few triangles they played which were okay, but a lot of their passes to their centre forwards were to feet and not really through ball. So it was a bit of a flat first half. Second half, a bit more different, obviously. We see some great goals. Saville, Phoebe, just to name a couple there. Great, great finishes there. And it was, I mean, you can't say too little too late, because there's not really a lot more you can do except for have a big win at home, and 3-0 was a big win. But there was chances, obviously, the one that hit the bar. I mean, Saville, his goal, I think that was his second or third from only a yard out. There was a time in the first half where Leonard had the ball stuck in his feet and should have probably had a shot a bit earlier. So we should have really, let's be brutally honest, be about 4 or 5 to look good. But again, if you would have said last home game of the season is against Peterborough, still within touching distance of the playoffs, and you win 3-0, and it's not a bad performance, you can't really knock it too much. Usual pitch invasion, which we normally get, but it's good to see that after everyone cleared the pitch that the fans came, the fans who were still in attendance got to see the players, which was nice. Obviously, one game left to go, so fair play to those who are going down to Bournemouth. to the game. I won't be going down there, didn't get a ticket, but I just have to say it has been a good season. I mean, we have had some troughs that haven't been too good, and we've obviously had a bit of a winless spell a while back, and I know that some people will be looking to results like the Birmingham game a couple of weeks ago and the Blackpool game, and again that spell where we didn't win too many. Peterborough away is another one just around the Christmas time, and also, you know, like the Fulham game down the Den, the 2-1, which even though it was 2-1 should have been about 6-0. But it's not been a bad season, dear listener, you know, in the sense that, come on, yes, it realistically is over now, and that train is now coming to a halt. You know, we're getting very, very close to the end of the line, but let's just be brutally honest, you know, it's who at the start of the season would have expected that we would have been this close, and at least with a very unrealistic chance of maybe sneaking in on last day. There's a 4-5 goal swing. Stranger things have happened in football, dear listeners, so keep the faith. Up the Lions until next season.
Hello, Nick. Hello, listeners. Ben Anthony here, speaking mid-hangover after yesterday's 3-0 win. It was a good result yesterday. The second half was excellent. First half was pretty dull. But yeah, very much enjoyed that second half. It was nice seeing the Den full and in good voice. And yeah, we sort of did our job. We've got another job to do next week, and then we wait and see what other results happen. We're in that weird position where it's actually not impossible for Middlesbrough and Millwall to be the two teams qualifying for the post-season competition. So who knows? The last game of the season is always a bit of a weird one, that usually there's some teams jumping up and down somewhere. So we wait and see. But if that is it, if it's not enough, it's been a good season and we should remember it and celebrate it. If we do make it, then we'll all have a laugh. But otherwise, yeah, a lot of work to do in the summer, whatever happens. And we look forward to coming back in at the end of July and doing it all again. Yeah, well done, Millwall. And thanks to Nick and everyone who's contributed to the podcast. It's been great to listen to the shows. And yeah, see you all next season. Come on, you Lions.
Achtung, Millwall.
We are joined on the show, listeners, by Charlie Mahoney. And Charlie, you and me were just talking about this internet viral meme. I don't know if that's the right term. Kids, I don't know if that's still a term.
You've got the latest rap CD, Nick.
Well, I'm going to have to get into it, Charles. I'm just looking at a bloke way too old. He's probably in my age group, Charlie, strolling through the two stewards on the Millwall pitch amidst hysteria and kids running around. It's a very Millwall end of season. thing we go through every year, don't we? Mr. Bye for now, going into a nervous breakdown, you know, whilst the same things happens every season.
Nah, it's brilliant. Brilliant. I know a lot of people do get wound up by it, but I sort of enjoy the sort of ridiculousness of the end of season pitch invasion. The empty threat every year that they're not going to come back out and still invariably do, regardless of what they say, always makes me laugh. Like,
it's like a band going off at the end of the show. You know they're going to come back, no matter how little applause you give them. They're going to come back for their encore because it's part of the
deal. No hits to perform either. But
not this season. What a strange game I found yesterday, Charlie. 3-0 win, obviously, for the Lions over Peterborough. But it was almost like summarised the season in one game, because there was a whole half of so-called football in that first half where effectively nothing happened, and maybe one or two shots on goal from Peterborough, but there was very little to report from the Millwall perspective. And then a fairly decent phase of play in the second half that killed the game off. And I don't know, am I being churlish in wondering what if this season might have been? You know, there's been so many wasted halves of football and chances. We could have done so much better, but that feels churlish when I say that.
No, I think it's a valid sort of thing to sort of ask. I really do question whether, you know, is that first half what we'd have been served up if the game had meant what it could have meant. Well, like, you know, if had it not been for the, like, the QPR result the night before and a couple of other results and other things transpiring, like, that could have been monumental, that game yesterday. So the first half may have played out very differently. It seemed to me like that first half was two teams that didn't necessarily have enough kind of to motivate them. You know, Peterborough already down and us kind of knowing, despite it not being mathematically sort of like impossible, knowing that the sort of playoff thing has probably passed us by. Had there been that motivation, would it have been a bit more intense? Would there have been a bit more sort of hunger from us? It's interesting to see. Like I say, that just could have been such a huge game yesterday. And I think the atmosphere was weird because it was so close to being one of those big games and wasn't, maybe.
Yeah, the fizz had gone from our Stella Artois, so to speak, listeners. I make you right. I mean, there is a famous song that listeners will know by Lenny Kravitz called It Ain't Over Till It's Over. And I do agree that the season is probably realistically over, but it's not over till it's over, Charlie. I mean, you know, a full-throated approach from the very start. If we'd got some goals in the first half and continued that through the game, we might have routed up, a 4-5-6 kind of scoreline. Peterborough weren't really in it, were they, yesterday? They were on the relegation beach very much. And I just find it a strange approach, because we were knocking it around like it was an end-of-season friendly in a very unremarkable first half, given that we've got a sell-out crowd to play to. I mean, there's a certain professional kind of pride that should say, in front of a full house, at least try and turn it onto some level. We went marginally close a couple of times, a couple of balls into the box, but there really wasn't anything to talk about at the end of the first half, which I found a bit of a shocker, really. I don't know, it just seems such a waste. And I think that's my sense of the season. Wasteful moments, too many wasteful moments for our own good, really, across the whole campaign.
Yeah, I think we sort of become involved in this sort of playoff thing without realising we were going to as well. Like, had we had a bit more kind of, if we'd anticipated that the season might end like this, we might have been a little bit more gung-ho in games where we were a bit too cautious. But my reaction to sort of missing out on the playoffs is that we did have a run-in that was kind of conducive to getting there if we just had that little bit more killer instinct, and we didn't. So, like, if we hadn't dropped points, and I know it's a bit arrogant to describe it as dropping points in the away games, but if we hadn't dropped points at Preston and Birmingham, it may have been a very different matter, because the home form's been quite sublime when you look at it. But just going on the road and being able to kind of have that ability to be decisive and win games just hasn't been there. And I think that's probably what is needed for a team that's finishing in the top six in this division.
Yeah, I mean, on that very point, Charlie, I mean, this tweet here from Jake Sanders: since Millwall were beaten by Luton on the 16th of October, they've taken 35 points from a possible 51 at home. No visiting side has scored more than once. 9 goals conceded. He describes it as a fortress. I mean, that's a cracking home record. I mean, I think if you want to know where the season got away from us, I don't think you can really look at the recent games. In fact, I didn't take a note of the tweet, but someone made this very point. Forgive me, whoever it was out there that posted this, because it's a very good point, that you can't set yourself winning all 5 or 6 last games of the season. It's just unrealistic. You've got to look at, particularly, I feel, Charlie, there was a phase in the season between, I think it was December and January, where we had 5 league losses, a couple of wins, but 5 league losses, including some really poor showings at Peterborough and Blackpool. And then you've got games at Stoke, where we got beat in poor circumstances. That's where the season's got away from us, across a bigger stretch of time than these recent games. There's a debate online, and I wanted to get your take on it, really. There's two strands of thought here. One summed up by Luke Stallard. He says, talking about Gary Rowett here, Charlie, he says, Gary Rowett's got the results and you can't knock him for that. But Rowett simply doesn't get the club. That first half sums it up for Luke. biggest crowd in a long time, and the atmosphere is a dead zone. There's nothing to get behind, no press, no counter-attack, no quality. He says it's not Millwall. Then in riposte, Lee Snell says this is an unpopular opinion, as I think it's more popular than Lee might think. Regardless of his style of football, Gary Rowett is the best manager we've had in a long time. And the fact that we're consistently looking at the playoffs with such little money is remarkable. Imagine what you could do with money, says Lee. So there's this kind of tension between these two viewpoints, Charlie. I was interested to see where you come down. Is it Gary Rowett's a boring defensive manager that doesn't get the club and doesn't ignite the 18,000 or 17,000, whatever it was in the Den yesterday? Or is it that he's outperforming, we're punching way above our weight, as the cliche has it? Because there's no real answer, but it strikes me that all are true, actually, aren't they? Both sides are true at the same time.
Yeah, like I'm going to be sort of annoyingly sort of Keir Starmer about it, I think.
Have a beer.
Yeah.
Have a beer with people,
yeah. 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 But, yeah, there's sort of elements from both of those schools of thought that may have validity. But we were talking about it on the way home yesterday, and I really don't think it's as simple as saying, like, oh, we're just too negative and we're too cautious all the time. I think, you know, if it was up to Gary Rowett and we went out early yesterday and scored 3 goals in the first half, he would have taken that. I don't think it's as simple as him just saying, don't score. I think he assesses the opposition. He wants to see the threat they pose within the game, and then kind of bases his tactical approach from there, rather than just saying, oh, defend constantly. But yeah, you know, I can see why it's not. The first half was definitely tepid. It was definitely poor. But I don't think he set out intentionally to annoy people, to be boring. And I agree with the other side of this as well, that he's done really well. I mean, the fact remains that even though we won't make the playoffs, like, it's a mathematical possibility on the last day of the season.
Yeah, long shot, Charlie, long shot, yeah.
Yeah, it's mental, isn't it? Like, to think that we would. But the fact that it is actually mathematically possible on the last day of the season really is an achievement that needs to be recognised. In some respects, we probably be. I think what really needs to be kind of acknowledged and sort of like expressed is that we are just more than good enough for this league, and I think that's something to say in itself. Like, you know, we are playing teams at home currently and sort of brushing them aside and beating them with ease or beating them comfortably, and who wouldn't have wanted to aspire to that, you know, a few seasons ago? Like, that needs to be kind of celebrated in itself. So, yeah, okay, his football's not everyone's cup of tea, but he has established us in this division. He's completed his objectives, is probably what the board would have sort of stated of him and asked him to kind of fulfil. So,
yeah, I mean, we're placed, I think it's 8th. I haven't got the table in front of me, listeners, so I think it's 8th. We're probably going to finish round about 8th. We might, it is, we've got to go to Bournemouth and put 5 past them. And I think we need Sheffield United to get beat on the last day, and then Borough need to get beat. So it's probably not going to happen. But I think you're right. I mean, to be an established top 10 championship side is no mean feat, Charlie, with given that I was looking at a graphic the other day online that I saw where I think only Luton are outperforming us in terms of wage to performance, so to speak, league performance. And they've done very well this season on minimal resources. We operate pretty much on minimal resources. So I think people have to, manage their expectations a little bit. I'm also not entirely convinced by this thing that I hear a lot. You might hear it too, Charlie, that I'd sooner get beat in an entertaining 3-4 game, 5-4 or something, sooner go out all guns blazing than win it by a boring 1-0 margin. I'm not entirely convinced that that would last very long if we were consistently getting beat in entertaining games, because we'd be entertaining ourselves down towards the relegation zone quite quickly. And I don't entirely buy that. I think that's easy to say when you've just won a professional 1-0 win over, you know, good quality championship opponents. I think it's a kind of phrase that trips off people's tongues without really thinking too deeply about it. I mean, actually, I just want to dwell on some of the good parts of yesterday, because the second half was a much better showing, Charlie, than that first half. Opened up by a really nice Afobe finish. I was a long way away from it when it went in the net, and I could see it was him that finished it. But watching the YouTube clip this morning, it's actually a really nice take and controlled finish. And that really opened the game up at 1-0, didn't it? But nice effort by Bennick.
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Like, I had quite a decent view because I'm sitting in the lower Dockers. So right. I was sort of watching it sort of right behind him as he sort of took it. I think he's a fantastic player. There's been a lot of debate about him. People are saying, he's lazy. Yeah, but you know what? I'm tired of just having players to celebrate because they chase lost causes and run themselves into the ground. The fact of the matter is that Bennick Afobe produces the goods when it matters. And even in game, he can have a terrible 90 minutes overall, but still produce an absolute moment of quality. And I think it's having players like him in the team that is going to take us to that next level, quite frankly. Like, yeah, you can have your sort of like strikers who are going to chase the goalkeeper down constantly and
effort,
the lost cause thing. And that is great. We want to see that. And that is definitely an admirable quality in a player. But for me, it is about having the Afobes who can just produce a moment of quality like he did yesterday. Thought it was a fantastic finish. And there's been a few goals at the Den in recent months where he's really kind of displayed what he's about, I think.
Yeah, the kind of skill you can't teach, Charlie. I mean, you can teach effort, you can teach, the kind of the basics of the game, but he controlled the ball to line up the finish, and the execution was tremendous. But there's the control, I think, was a crossing from the right. It came over to Bennick, and you that's the bit you can't teach in football. That's instinctive, and that's what that's the next level, as you rightly say. And then talking about a man we're going to lose, and I think it's going to leave a very big hole behind him. Obviously, Jed Wallace's home finale. He came into the game early in the second half. I think after we went 1-0 up, Jed came in and he actually assisted in both of the next two goals. So the own goal, which was a cross in from the right, and then the third goal, which was another cross for a decent finish for George Saville to head home. It's a kind of a bittersweet day in a way. I mean, I think he's a great player, Jed Wallace. There's a very strange debate online last night, which I'm not going to partake in this because it's nonsense, about whether he is or isn't a Millwall legend. And I don't know what, legend, this kind of modern term of legend is so banded around so easily. But he's one of our best players, certainly the best player in the last 10 years, I'd say, in a Millwall shirt.
Possibly longer.
No mean achievement. And he does have what we just talked about with Bennick, Charlie, that ability to do the unexpected and the stuff that you can't teach. I think he's been a great, great player for Millwall, Jed. Well, it's going to be a real loss.
Well, I mean, it's ironic on the back of what I'm saying about this debate about effort and quality. Can you have a great player who doesn't sort of drive himself? And I genuinely think Jed did that. I genuinely think Jed kind of combined all those kind of those Millwall kind of classic attributes and quality. Like, this is a player who really cared, really, really did care, really kind of went to that extra level, chased lost causes, wanted to put a tackle in, but also produced flashes of absolute brilliance. And he is going, let's not make any bones about it. He's off, I think.
But he's out of contract. I think he can do well for himself. And he's at an age where he's kind of got to, Charlie. I mean, he won't get this chance again, will he? Who wouldn't do that? I everyone would take that chance if they could get it in their lives. And I don't begrudge him it. Three spells at Millwall, 2016 to 2022, 241 starts, 18 as a sub, including yesterday, 43 goals. I didn't tot up the assists because that's been his real, you know, that's where he's stood apart from many, many Mill players. But no, I would put him in the category of one of the greats, whether that makes him a legend or not, I don't know. It's such a trite term in some ways. The other contrast, you know, we're talking about effort and maximum Millwall kind of attribute. It goes to our player of the season, Murray Wallace. There was a great post how, I think it was Jake Sanders said how, you know, our consistently best player for the last, well, since 2016, Jed, has never won player of the season. And instead we've rightly, I don't begrudge Murray. I love Murray Wallace to death, but it does illustrate that Millwall, very Millwall thing of favouring graft over talent, Charlie, doesn't it? It's almost in our DNA, mate, that's the way the cards will fall at the Den, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, you can look at specific seasons. Like, I think, you know, I think that first season back in Division One when we got promoted with McGee and we had the likes of Cahill and Reid,
yeah,
and Ifill, yeah, and Sadler, and I think it was like Matt Lawrence who got Player of the Season that's year. Right. That kind of mentality, isn't it? Like, it's not that people are being hipsters, but they're sort of like kind of. They're kind of looking bigger picture at it, and who are the players who facilitate that quality? Like, who are the linchpins, and who are the people who get the basics right and allow the kind of more technically able players to flourish because of the effort that's being put in elsewhere? Maybe I think Murray is fully deserving of that award.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's interesting you saying it. This is why players like, you know, Jimmy and Matt Lawrence and Murray win Player of the Season, because people are not necessarily looking for that flair. They're not looking for the most kind of adventurous, explosive performances of the seasons, but the ones that have really held it all together, I think.
I'd say both Wallaces, Jed and Murray. Jed's been here longer than Murray, but both are players that have improved tremendously. I mean, Mill's been good for both players. And I think they both recognise that, because I think Jed was quite emotional, apparently, on the pitch at the end of the game.
He certainly looked it. Yeah, because like I say, when they did the lap of honour, he looked a bit choked up. Maybe I was just sort of like reading too much into it, because that's what I expect to happen. But it did have the kind of appearance of a farewell.
Absolutely, I saw he had his two kids out there running on the pitch. Someone said he had, you know, it was emotional at the end of the game. And equally, I mean, obviously Murray is staying on, his contract was extended. But I think both recognise the very Millwall qualities that make or break some players. If you respond here, then both have improved tremendously at one of the tougher clubs to make it at, Charlie. I mean, you know, what's the song? New York, you can make it here, you can make it anywhere at Bermondsey, you know. And I think there's a touch of that for both Wallaces.
I think Tim Cahill said something along those lines as well, you know. If you can perform for me, well, you know, you're sorted. If you can get it right here, your career is going to flourish. Almost, like, yeah.
We'll see where he goes to, Jed.
That's an interesting one to actually think where he's going to go to. Because he is going to leave, but I'm not entirely sure where.
Well, the talk is of Turkey, Beşiktaş, I think I saw. Yeah. Whether that's true or not, I haven't got a clue. I'm not in the know, listeners. Whether there's money in Turkey in the sense of a player of his quality, I wouldn't know. I don't know.
Quite a lot in Turkey, apparently. Quite a lot. Famously, they sort of a lot of foreign players go there because they have a very low tax rate, apparently, on wages. So, yeah, what you earn is sort of
Of course, Benik Afobe had a spell in Turkey, so maybe that's what's in Jed's mind. Also, a change of scene. I mean, you know, from the experience point of view, it's different way of life there, different lifestyle. So maybe that's what he's got in mind. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting summer time ahead, not only for Jed, but for us too. I mean, there's a load of players that are out of contract, and it's going to be quite a big almost not quite a clean slate for next season, Charlie, but there's a lot of question marks over players. I mean, I'd even include Gary Rowett in that, you know, the question mark zone, because we're, you know, he would have been with us now, I think, for three seasons, including his first campaign. When he came to us in, let's be honest, there's a kind of rehabilitation after a bad experience at Stoke, and he was working for Sky TV, wasn't he? And he would have come to us with a view to trying to get back on the motorcycle and ride, and then he's done that, really. He can point to a consistent, you know, for an unfashionable club that nobody likes, he's produced a very good, strong championship finish in each of the seasons that he's been there with us. I wonder whether he'll be looking to broaden his horizons at some point soon.
Yeah, that's definitely something that intrigues me. I think he's done a great job as well. Like I say, you're just asking yourself who would actually come in for him, not in a kind of a derogatory way to wow it, but just genuinely wondering who would be interested and where the approach would come from. I think there have been mentions of West Brom, apparently, but
as far as
I know, Steve Bruce is going to stay there. I think if West Brom really wanted Rowett, they would have gone out and tried to get him when they appointed Steve Bruce a few months ago anyway. So I'm not sure that one holds up. But I think Rowett's definitely worth keeping. Like I said earlier, I know he's not everyone's cup of tea in terms of some of the football that we may or may not play, but you've just got to look at what he's achieved. And I would say the danger of losing Rowett might be more next season when, you know, a team that's expected to do well potentially struggles and then looks at someone who's doing a consistent job.
I suppose Rowett will give any club, ourselves, we're a classic example of a very efficient. He'll get moderate clubs to outperform themselves. I think that's going to be his unique selling point as a manager. We'll see. I'm hoping that he will also take a view that if we can back him, and I don't know to what level we're going to back him or whether we can back him financially, that he can do even better. You know, we'll keep making the repeat point that this season does have a little slight sense that it could have been a lot better. Maybe 2022-23 can be the season this could have been. I don't know. We'll see. We're going to be losing Dan Ballard. He's loans up. He's going to be a loss as well, Chelo. I've liked Dan Ballard this season, going back to Arsenal. I would imagine he would see himself as a Premier League level defender now. I mean, I've seen some really good performances for him, and he's already at Arsenal, so you'd expect him to, you know, to be thinking at that level as his next step in his career. So I can't see him staying on at the Den unless we can muster up a serious bid for him, which I don't know that we will or need to, even arguably. Shayojo, I can't see him staying hanging about. Can you, or would you keep him, Charlie? Ojo,
I genuinely haven't seen enough of the bloke, no, to be fair. I don't want to dismiss him, but I think even when he has been available and fit, he's not necessarily been Rowett's first choice. I think there was one game, I think Stoke at home, he really played well. I think he saw a couple for Bradshaw, maybe. That's when I watched him and thought, well, we've got a bit of a player here, but never really.
Injury's done for him, isn't it?
Of course. But that, you know, That doesn't help a lone player at all, does it, really? Because you get a limited time to see him. He'll probably go back to Liverpool, and his career's been just full of these loan moves. So it's almost like he's just there at Liverpool to be loaned out to someone else. It's unfortunate, really. But I also think that Rowett's not necessarily fancied him when he has been available as a kind of first choice option. I think he was there to augment the squad rather than be like a major part of the first team.
I mean, it remains to be seen. Players like Oliver Burke, we saw. I think he's improving game by game. I was a little bit so about him initially, but he's quick, and he's increasingly, for me at least, he's establishing a presence. Whether that means we will want to table a serious bid for him, I remains to be seen. So many question marks, Charlie. Same with Benik Afobe, really our top scorer. They have 13 goals, I'm going to guess. I had 12 at the start of yesterday, so 13 after yesterday. going back to Stoke because he was on loan to us all season. You do get a sense that Bennick feels at home at Mill. It's really whether we're going to have the money to invest in keeping this level of player. If we're not, then we've got to start from scratch, pretty much looking at diamonds in the rough from the lower leagues if we're not going to be talking about this kind of player at Championship level.
Yeah, I think the gist of what Rowick was saying yesterday is that we want to keep these players, but it's not necessarily just a matter of us deciding whether that's going to happen, or maybe he means from his own perspective, the budget he's got to work with. But I do feel that if we're just going to like kind of not even pepper the squad full of loan players, like really every signing we've made's been a loan this year. If that's the approach we're going to take and they've done well, then, you know, surely we've got to be looking at getting them on a permanent basis.
You'd hope. I mean, I will say the quality of the loans have improved to a minute. I mean, it's one good thing that Gary Rowett has brought to the club. We've signed some decent and some duds, because that's the gamble that you take within the loan market. But we've signed, including Bennick. I mean, he's probably the best example of a very, very judiciously placed loan signing. So I do think that's one thing that Rowett has brought to the club. So many questions, Charlie. It's going to be an interesting summertime ahead, mate.
And it's going to be a limited one as well, because the season's going to be starting earlier as well. So,
So 30th of July, the new season starts. We've got one more fixture to complete. Listeners, of course, at AFC Bournemouth next weekend. We just need to beat them by 5. We need Middlesbrough and Sheffield to get beat, and then we're in the playoffs.
No sweat. Yeah.
No sweat. Oh dear. Want to say thank you, Charlie, taking time out your Sunday morning, mate, coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, mate. Cheers.
We'll do more of these next season with Charlie. Always enjoy talking to Charlie. Summertime's coming. Crazy, crazy days of summer. We're going to have some more shows over the course of the summertime, but we'll talk about that next week. I shall see you all, listeners, after AFC Bournemouth. Thank you, Charlie. And
cheers, mate.
Arrivederci, Millwall. Bye for now.
You have been listening to Achtung, Millwall. Please do leave us a review at Apple Podcasts. Danke schon. Up the lines.